Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word, his promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God in our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus. The kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I will select two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment. To everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek Gentile. Verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. Amen. If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 5, verse 11, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse where we left off with, which is verse 12. As a reminder, Romans chapter 5, the main topic for this chapter is results of justification. Results of justification. This is what the Bible says in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all people, no one being able to stop it or escape its power, because they all sinned. Here's my comment regarding verse 12. One man, Adam, who was given the authority to be mankind's representative, allowed sin into the world. Notice that sin and death are co-conspirators of the sinful nature. On the other hand, doing God's word brings abundant life and life everlasting. Let's read verse number 13 from the Bible. Sin was committed in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone when there is no law against it. Here's my comment. Those individuals who lived before the law was given and sinned were not judged based on the law. However, I say again that God placed in our spirit man or conscience the ability to know right from wrong. Let's go on to verse number 14. The Bible says, "Let death rule over mankind from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who had not sinned as Adam did." Adam is a type of him, Christ, who was to come. But in reverse, Adam brought destruction. Christ brought salvation. Praise the Lord. Here's my comment regarding verse 14. Adam's willful act to disobey God's commandment brought destruction. Jesus' obedience brought salvation from the sin nature and eternal death. Let's read verse 15 from the Bible. But the free gift of God is not like the trespass, because the gift of grace overwhelms the fall of man. For if many died by one man's trespass, Adam's sin, much more abundantly did God's grace and the gift that comes by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to benefit the many. Here's my comment regarding verse 15. All mankind is headed to hell because of one man's sin, Adam. God's grace and gift by one man, Jesus, brought mankind reconciliation and eternal life. Praise God. All right, let's read verse 16 from the Bible. It says, "Nor is the gift of grace like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment following the sin resulted from one trespass and brought condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift resulted from many trespasses and brought justification, the release from sin's penalty for those who believe." Here's my verse regarding verse 16. Adam, who was made in the image of God, was given great authority. His one sin brought condemnation to all of mankind. The free gift of salvation came into effect only after many men and women were obedient to complete their assignments under the old covenant. All right, let's go to verse 17. The Bible says, "For if by the trespass of one Adam, death reigned through the one Adam, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in eternal life through the one, Jesus Christ." Here's my comment regarding verse 17. Paul once again contrasts Adam, our first representative, to Jesus, our last and eternal representative. Under Adam, death reigned for all men. Under Jesus, we received grace and the gift of righteousness and eternal life. Paul leaves no doubt that accepting Jesus and his gift of salvation is the right choice for all men. Let's go on and read from the Bible, verse 18. "So then, as through one trespass, Adam's sin, there resulted condemnation for all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Here's my comment regarding verse 18. Adam's one sin condemned the world. Jesus' one act of righteousness resulted in justification to all men. And we praise God for that. Otherwise, we would be condemned as well. All right, let's continue with verse 19. The Bible says, "For just as through one man's disobedience, his failure to hear, his carelessness, the many were made the sinners, so through the obedience, the one man, the many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him." Here's my comment regarding verse 19. Adam's disobedience made us all sinners. Jesus' obedience made it possible for all men to be righteous and acceptable to God. Let's continue with verse 20. The Bible says, "But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of the trespass by defining and unmasking sin. But where sin increased, God's remarkable gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased all the more." Here's my comment regarding verse 20. The footnote from the Bible I would like to read out loud. It says, "Once the law had been revealed, the sin which was already there became much more obvious because it had been explicitly illustrated how wrong it was. But God's grace was even bigger than the sin. Sin can never exceed the grace provided by God, and it loses its threat when compared to the infinite grace of our Heavenly Father." Amen. Let's read the last verse of chapter 5, which is verse 21 from the Bible. It says, "So that as sin reigned in death, so also grace would reign through righteousness, which brings eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Here's my comment regarding verse 21. Sin reigns in death. The wages of sin is death. Grace reigns through righteousness and brings eternal life through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, that concludes chapter 5. Let's continue with chapter number 6 from the book of Romans. The major topic for chapter 6 is believers are dead to sin, alive to God. Very important. Believers, Christians, are dead to sin and alive to our Heavenly Father. Let's start with verse number 1 from the Bible. It says, "What shall we say to all this? Should we continue in sin and practice sin as a habit so that God's gift of grace may increase and overflow?" Here's my comment. The question, should Christians continue to sin so God's grace may increase? Of course, the answer is no. Let's read verse 2 from the Bible. It says, "Certainly not. How can we, the very ones who died to sin, continue to live in it any longer?" Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. Christians have died to sin in Jesus. We no longer practice sin as when we were sinners without Jesus the Christ in our lives. Let's continue with Bible verse number 3. "Or are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Here's my comment regarding verse 3. As Christians, we have been baptized, immersed, purified, regenerated into Christ Jesus. We are the sons of God. As Christians, we are baptized into Jesus' death. And dead people are incapable of sinning. That's the kind of mindset us Christians must have with regards to the sin nature. We are no longer
under its dominion. We have been set free through the blood of Jesus, and our salvation makes us dead to sin. All right, let's go on to verse number 4. The Bible reads, "We have therefore been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and power of the Father, we too might walk habitually in newness of life, abandoning our old ways." Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. We have been buried with Jesus and purified. We are dead to the sin nature. Now Christians are able to walk habitually in the newness of our recreated spirit. We willfully abandon our old sinful ways and have the authority to do so in the name of Jesus. Let's read from the Bible, verse number 5. "For if we have become one with him, permanently united in the likeness of his death, we will also certainly be one with him and share fully in the likeness of his resurrection." This is my comment regarding verse number 5. Christians are permanently united with Jesus in the likeness of his death. Satan and sin no longer have authority over us. Instead, we are like Jesus in his resurrection, victorious over Satan, death, and the sinful nature. Amen. Let's read from the Bible, verse number 6. It says, "We know that our old self, our human nature, without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." Here's my comment regarding verse number 6. As a result of Jesus' sacrificial life and death, man's old nature was nailed to the cross along with Jesus, so that mankind would no longer be slaves to the sin nature. As Christians, we can choose not to sin and live in God's blessings. All right, let's read verse 7 from the Bible. It says, "For the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin." Here's my comment regarding verse number 7. This is the key to the gift of salvation, that we have died with Christ and the sin nature has no power or authority over those who believe. However, our will is involved. We must still choose individually to be obedient to God's word. All right, let's read verse number 8 from the Bible. It says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live together with him." Here's my comment regarding verse number 8. Here is something to shout about. Since we have died with Christ, we now can share the life of Jesus with all the same authority, power, and dominion over the enemy. This is why we can be at peace when the circumstances of life come against us. We got the victory in Jesus. No exceptions. Amen. All right, let's read verse number 9 from the Bible. It says, "Because we know the self-evident truth, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him." Here's my comment regarding verse 9. Jesus resurrected, and he will never die again. Neither physical death or spiritual death have power over him. And this same victory abides in us as sons of the living God in Jesus Christ. All right, praise God. Let's read verse number 10 from the Bible. "For the death that he died to sin, ending its power and paying the sinner's debt once and for all. And the life that he lives to glorify God in unbroken fellowship with him." All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 10. Jesus completed an assignment for us. He paid the cost of sin, which is death for all mankind. Now we can live with Jesus in unbroken fellowship with God. as God intended from the very beginning. All right, let's read verse number 11 from the Bible.
It says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and your relationship to it broken, but alive to God in unbroken fellowship with Him in Christ Jesus."
Here's my comment regarding verse 11. Christians must see themselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we do, Satan and all that he represents will never again have dominion over us. We will see Satan as Jesus sees him, defeated, with no authority or power to fulfill his evil assignments against us. That is the truth that Christians live under as a result of the work that Jesus completed, and we should shout and be happy for it. All right, let's go on to verse number 12. The Bible says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts and its passions." Here's my comment. The key phrase, "do not let sin," that is a direct result of having a free will. Again, we got the power and authority to say no to sin. And more importantly, no one or nothing can make us disobey the word of God. We must exercise our free will to do right or wrong. We alone must do a self-examination and correct ourselves by submitting to the word of God. Let's go on to verse 13. The Bible says, "Do not go on offering members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but offer yourselves to God in a decisive act, as those alive raised from the dead to a new life, and your members, all of your abilities, sanctified, set apart as instruments of righteousness, yielded to God." Here's my comment regarding verse 13. The key phrase is, "do not go on offering." Again, this gives us the responsibility to do right or wrong. We, the recreated spirit received in Jesus, are in control of our mind and body. Therefore, we have the ability to say yes to God's word and no to Satan's deceptions. All right, let's go on to verse 14. The Bible says, "For sin will no longer be master over you, since you are not under the law as slaves, but under unmerited grace as recipients of God's favor and mercy." Here's my comment regarding verse 14. Sin is no longer master over Christians. Since we have been saved by grace, we have received God's favor and mercy. All our sin, past, present, and future, have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. We have been forgiven of it all. Amen. Let's go on to verse 15. The Bible says, "What then are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under God's grace? Certainly not." Here's my comment regarding verse 15. Here is where Paul reminds us of Satan's tactics. As Christians, the sins we commit are forgiven and are not held against us by God. However, we have an enemy, Satan, who is looking for those who choose to be disobedient, so he can have a legal right to come against us. When we step out of the covering of our God, Satan can successfully steal, kill, and destroy us. This is one reason why some Christians die prematurely. They are living in sin and out of God's protection. Let's read verse 16 from the Bible. It says, "Do you not know that when you continually offer yourselves to someone to do his will, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey? Neither slaves of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness, right standing with God." Here's my comment regarding verse 16. The key phrase, when you continually offer yourselves. Again, this lets us know that we are under control. We have a free will, and we must choose to do right or wrong. We are responsible for choosing who to obey. No one else can choose for us. We alone choose victory in Jesus or choose defeat in Satan. Let's continue with verse number 17. The Bible says, "But thank God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient with all your heart to the standard of teaching in which you are instructed and to which you were committed." Here's my comment regarding verse 17. The key phrase, "with all your heart." We are not perfect. We were sinners saved by God's grace. But what we can do now that we are saved is make every effort to live for Christ, who saved us from eternal death in hell. In short, we have the responsibility to diligently seek to live out God's word in our life. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. I am out of time. Please come back next week as we continue our study on the Book of Romans, our guidebook for Christian living. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.